Some of you are very familiar with Temple Baptist Church and with all things TBC. Some of you, on the other hand, probably not so much. And so today, we are going to begin a series of messages that are built around Temple Baptist Church, our understanding of who she is, what that means, what it means to be a part of it, what our central core beliefs are, and our core values as we express those beliefs. To do that, we're going to build all of this for about 6 weeks, and I say about because I'm leaving a little room to wiggle around in case I need 7 weeks. I don't think there's any chance I'll need less, so it's not going to happen in 5 weeks, but I may need seven. Who knows, maybe eight, but for sure six. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to break it down talking about two primary statements. One of them is our mission statement. Now, this is not an approved statement. It's not something the church has voted on. It's something that we teach in Membership 101. It's something that we use to kind of guide a lot of the other things that we do and the things that we practice. And so our mission statement, some people refer to it as a purpose statement. It would be the same thing. It's a very general statement. And it simply says that Temple Baptist Church exists for the glory of God through lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you're going to hear this over and over and over again during the next 6 weeks. And the purpose of that is simply to drive that home. We want it to be something that every person who's a part of this fellowship has committed not only to memory, but understands in principle as well. So for 3 weeks, at least, we're going to talk about that mission statement. The second statement is a vision statement. And a vision statement is built around also some very basic principles, but that vision statement really has more to do with the practical outworking of the church. And so it's a little longer, and it's built around three basic core values. And we'll look at those core values over the course of that time and consider how that relates to us and how we relate to the world around us through that. In other words, how do you do ministry? What is the basis for that ministry? It's always based on truth. It's always based on a formation or a foundation of belief and understanding in our lives. And it's based on a missional outlook that moves us from where we are to where God wants us to be as He extends Himself into the world. So those are the core values that we'll look at over those few weeks as well. And that will help us to kind of bring together what I hope will be a beginning to our new year and kind of set the tone for that. Now, sometimes you wonder, what are we going to do in the future? Well, we're going to do a lot of what we've been doing, but we're going to do a lot of things that we haven't done. As far as preaching is concerned, that kind of carries us on into the month of March. And then in March, I'm going to do a series that will lead us up to our celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ at Easter. After Easter, we're going to start a study in the book of Acts, and we're going to preach through and study together through the book of Acts in a whirlwind of time, meaning we're going to do it between the months of April and August. Now, I will leave a little wiggle room there, too. It can carry over into September, but not much. Because you see, in September, we're going to do another series on the church like we did last year, and that's going to take us right up to Christmas. And then in Christmas, we're going to do a Christmas series again, and we've had such an overwhelming response to our devotional study and devotional guide. We'll do another one of those. I haven't said anything to our authors, and so to our authors, we're going to do another one of those, and we may include some of you in that as well. So you say, oh my gosh, he just explained away the entire year and it's gone. And what are we going to do now? Well, come on back. We haven't gotten there yet. I just want you to know where we're going. This is your roadmap. I'm not going to repeat it. So if you missed it, I'm sorry. You'll have to, somebody will have to ask you, one of you that's here today, or I'll be glad to share that with you later on. So how did we all get started? Where does this all come from? In 1924, a group of people left First Baptist Church, of Sullivan, and decided to form another congregation. Now, the discussion has gone on for years as to what that separation was really like. I don't really know, and there's not anyone left who was there that could tell us exactly. But we do know that there was a group of people, a small group of people, who wanted to do some things a little differently than what was established there. I will tell you that the division did not occur over doctrinal differences, and it did not occur over foundational principles. In fact, to this day, Temple Baptist Church is in fellowship with other evangelical churches in our community, First Baptist included, and we believe the Bible to be the foundation and the inerrant Word of God. And so we have lots of fellowship and lots of good relationship, and we get to enjoy being a part of a family of faith in this community that extends the gospel throughout this community. There's no competition. We are co-laborers together, and we believe that, and we practice that. But there was a separation that occurred. It occurred probably over the way missions were handled, and a group of folks that wanted to be a part of a different methodology, which we have in the Southern Baptist Convention. They met in the Rethmeyer home. And the Rethmeyer home is still, of course, standing. This is the red house that's next to Eaton's funeral home on Clark Street, and that's where they started out. They met there for a while, and as they kind of got things going and decided on where they were headed and what they were going to do. And then in 1925, they moved to meeting in the old Oddfellows Hall. That building isn't here anymore. It was just down the street from us, in fact. And they met there from 1925 until 1935. In 1927, the church was actually formed and constituted. It was established. And it was during that time, or it was at that time, that they sort of set the foundation. And that's the date that we look back to, September the 11th, 1927, the formation and foundation of Temple Baptist Church, making us 83 years old today. And so Temple Baptist Church was established. They're meeting in a rented space. But in the process, they also decided that they needed their own space. And so a lot was purchased on April 30th, 1935, and would be the site for the new church home. It is that site that we are a part of right now. The first church that was built on that site was only a basement. And it wasn't very big. It was 36 feet by 60 feet. It was a stone basement. And there are members of this church that are in this room right now that met in that basement. You can ask Gene Shuler sometime. He can tell you about stoking the fire and keeping it warm and doing all those kinds of things over there. And so that was where the church met during its beginnings. However, in 1940, they added a frame building to the top of that basement. And that's what you see in the picture there. And that building stood for some time, and later it was covered by brick. I think there was more to that story. I think not only was it covered by brick, but there was some renovation that was done to it as well, because I think that the walls started to bow, and it became unstable, and there was a fear that the roof would literally just crash down and the building would collapse. And so they had to go in and change a lot of the support beams that held the building up. And then when they did that, they also went ahead and added the brick to the outside of the structure. In 1954, they built again, but this time it was a three-story education building. It's not pictured in what you're seeing here, but it's the one that's still standing. It's on the back of that building. And we use it today, even though it's been fully renovated. It's the same structure. In 1960, they built a new sanctuary, and that sanctuary is not pictured there. That is the old sanctuary, the original building. 1960, we built a new sanctuary. Do we have that one? Well, it doesn't matter. You're sitting in it right now. And so, there you go. That's as it appeared in 1960, and that's how it was up until really recent times. Now you say, well, the building doesn't look any different. Well, it may not to you on the outside, but if you notice how it's got a wall across there, the walkway's entirely different, the green space is completely different, and those of us who were here during those days also know that the interior now is very different in the way it was all set up. I used to tell people, in fact, I had someone who was complaining about we didn't have enough stage because the wedding party that they had was going to be so big, there wasn't enough stage extended out. I said, you know, you should have seen it before. because the stage actually used to be right here. This was the wall. And so if you came in and you sat down, the first pews were right down here, about where the end of this stage is, or a little bit further between there and the pew. And it was just a brick wall across here, and it extended all the way across. And then the pianos didn't sit up like this. It dropped off straight down, and the pianos were down on the floor level. And so they were kind of down in a pit. And so you stood up like this, and from a preaching point of view, of course, I was back even further behind the pulpit. I mean, it puts you up really high. The pews on the sides were all straight. And so if you were sitting in one of the side pews, you were facing forward, and then you were craning your neck over like that, and then you looked up. And so it was very uncomfortable. And you know, you've heard about, you know, stiff-necked Christians. Well, that's how it happens. Anyway, we changed all of that, but it was very functional. It was a great addition. It added a lot of space and functionality for the church that they didn't have. And so in 1961, they dedicated this building. In 1975, they added another three-story education building, and it was added on to the back of this building. You can see a little bit of it in the picture there, but that picture was taken after that three-story addition was put on. It provided education space on the third floor, it provided office space on the second floor, and it provided a new and greatly expanded fellowship hall on the ground floor. Of course, we're still using all of that space today, and in 1991, we built a new building where the old original building sat. So the original basement and sanctuary was demolished. The ground was dug out. Everything was replaced with this two-story education and office building that you see and that we enjoy so much now. And then everything else was renovated, and I mean literally everything else. The 1954 three-story building was gutted, stripped down to bare studs, and completely redone. Central heating and cooling was added to all of that space where it didn't exist before. The only thing that didn't get renovated in the 1991 project, and I mean the only thing that was not renovated, were two children's classrooms on the third floor. Everything else was fully and completely and entirely renovated. Those two rooms were not. We did put some new carpet in them, and we painted them, but other than that, there were no structural changes to it, and that was the only square footage in this building that wasn't touched. That brings us to the present time. That's where we are today. Now, it's interesting to me that when we talk about the history of Temple Baptist Church, it seems to revolve around building projects. Have you noticed that? And it's that way for almost every church. And the reason is because every time there's a building project, it usually signals some kind of change taking place. In the early days, when you look at Temple Baptist Church, they started out in the living room of a home. They moved to a small space in the Oddfellows Center. They stayed there as they kind of expanded and grew. Then they bought their own place and they built their own space. And they met there for many years and they continued to grow. When they reached a point where they had grown beyond what they could contain there, they added on to it. That gave them more financial capability. They had more resources, and it signaled that the church was changing and growing. And then each time it expanded in those physical structures, it was an indication of an expansion that was taking place within the church, not only numerically, but also in every other way. Because as you track the buildings and the nature of those buildings, they change. Their appearance is different, the way they're set up. Everything about them, in fact, is different now nowadays than it was when it first started. And all of that is an indication of something that is taking place, not only externally, but something that is taking place internally as well. There is a change going on. And it removes any doubt in anyone's mind as to whether or not Temple Baptist Church exists. But Temple Baptist Church does not exist for its buildings. It does not exist because of its buildings. If all of these buildings were gone today, would Temple Baptist Church still exist? Certainly it should. About 4 weeks ago, the Bethlehem Baptist Church in St. Louis, North St. Louis, burned. Almost the entire building was wiped out, and parts of it that were left standing were terribly damaged to the point that they were uninhabitable. Bethlehem Baptist congregation was a very active congregation. And and the building burned on Tuesday, a local church nearby offered them some space that they had. I think it was kind of like a large fellowship hall type space that they weren't using on Sunday. Offered them the use of that space if they wanted to meet. And the folks at Bethlehem decided that they would meet on their regular schedule. And so on Sunday morning after their church burned, on Tuesday night, they were worshiping God and proclaiming the Word of God together as a family. The reporter showed up and spoke to the pastor about it, and after the service, actually during the service, because they were singing, and in the background you could see them singing and hear them, and the reporter said, "Pastor, how is it that your church has been able to overcome such a devastating loss?" And he said, "Well, the fact of the matter is, we haven't lost anything." He said, "The building was damaged, and we'll rebuild the building." But he said, "We didn't lose a single member. No lives were lost. And the church is not its building." He said, "The church, those people that you see singing and praising God, that's the church. And the church is not lost." And I thought, way to go, Pastor. You know, way to tell it like it is in front of the live news team. And way to go, News Channel, for going ahead and airing the whole thing and not chopping it up into some sort of soundbite that takes the power out of it. The church does not exist because buildings exist. Buildings exist because the church exists. And the church does not exist because a group of people decided it would exist. The church exists because Jesus decided it would exist. That's the foundation, and that's the fundamental truth. I'm going to use the word exist as kind of the guiding theme for this series that we look at together. And today, I want to take the first part of that mission statement that says, Temple Baptist Church exists. Temple Baptist Church exists. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18. And in verse 18, we have a familiar passage. Now, I've already preached in recent days about this whole idea and theme from this particular part of the Scripture. We return only to verse 18 today in order to pick up a couple of thoughts that go along with this. Jesus, after asking them, "Who do the people around say that I am?" And they gave the answers. Then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said, "Upon your confession of faith, Peter, I will build my church." So look at verse 18. "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus founded the church so that she would exist, and Jesus ensures the building up of the church so that she continues. And Jesus is the one who owns the church in everything. I want to talk to us this morning as we think about this business of the church existing and Temple Baptist Church and why she exists, as we understand that Temple Baptist Church is built by Jesus. Jesus said to Peter, "Upon this rock," which rock? The confession of faith. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Upon this rock, I will build the church." Not talking about the confession of faith so much, but talking about the fact that Jesus is the builder. Jesus is the one who builds the church. This was the first indication of what was to come in the kingdom work that Jesus had come to establish. This is the first indication of what was going to be. As we think about this mission statement and everything that we know about ourselves, when you declare Temple Baptist Church exists, when you declare that anything exists, now you've got to decide what you're going to do about it. Once you establish and we agree that something exists, now we've got to do something about it. There are some things in life that you can kind of ignore. They exist, but you don't have to acknowledge them if you don't want to, and you just sort of move on. There are some things in life you can deny, and they still exist, but you can deny them, and you can move on. And then there are some things in life that simply cannot be denied nor ignored. Friday night, I was at the house, and Jennifer and Justin were there, and Jennifer had just arrived, and whenever somebody comes to our house, doesn't matter how familiar they are, our dog does the same thing. He goes ballistically spastic. He just, you know, he barks, he jumps, and then once you calm him down a little bit, he'll perch on the back of the couch, the top of the couch, and then he'll howl. At least to Jennifer and Brianna, that's what he always does when they come in. He'll howl, and just a long howl. And we encourage it, you know, and we think it's cute. So anyway, she comes in, the dog goes crazy, and we get over all of that, and we greet and stuff, and then she and Justin have to leave right away, so they're getting ready to go. Well, before they turn around to walk out, we hear another round of barking and scratching and carrying on at the back door. And I looked around, and my dog's in the house, and I'm thinking, what on earth is that? This is a much heavier sound, too. And I go and turn the light on, and at my back door on the deck is a chocolate lab puppy, about 6 months old. And I had no idea whose dog this is. I've never seen it before, not in the neighborhood, but it's lost. And it has seen the light of our back door, and it only knows that it's supposed to be with people. And so we're people, and she wants in. And so she is pawing and clawing at my back door and demanding attention. Now, this dog exists, but cannot be denied and will not be ignored. That's the way some things are. The church should be that way. The fact that we exist, built by Jesus Christ, means that we cannot be denied and we should not be ignored. Not just Temple Baptist Church, but the church, period. The fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth and gave his life as a ransom for sin in order that he might establish the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and the family of God in the church means that we exist and we cannot be denied and we will not be ignored. I think this is a powerful statement, but it would never have happened unless Jesus had built the church. What happens when we build the church? It gets built around things like buildings. When man builds the church, it's built in the image of man so that it serves the purpose of man, so that it brings glory to man. When we build the church, when man builds the church, it doesn't stand against the gates of hell. It will not pass the test of eternity. When man builds the church may come and the church may go. It may be enormous in between, but it will not be eternal for all. The only way that happens is if Jesus builds the church. Jesus builds the church. He builds it on his foundation. He builds it according to his methodology. He builds it so that it brings glory to him. When we build the church, we take ownership of it. But when Jesus builds the church, not only is he the builder of it, but it belongs to him as well. Temple Baptist Church was built by Jesus. And Temple Baptist Church belongs to Jesus. Look at what it says there in verse 18 one more time. I will build my church. My church. Temple Baptist Church belongs to Jesus. Temple Baptist was incorporated not in 1927. It was established and it was formed in 1927. It was not incorporated until much later. The Articles of Incorporation, along with its Constitution and Bibles, were actually filed with the Secretary of State in Missouri in 1960, along about the time that this room, this building, was built. Filing still stands today, even though we have amended those bylaws in that constitution so that we operate under different rules these days. Secretary of State still recognizes the old constitution, and that is for incorporation purposes. Now, obviously, that's going to have to change, and it's going to have to be updated. It hasn't been done yet. When you go back and you look at that old set of articles of incorporation and that constitution and bylaws, you will find that it was submitted by John Waller, on behalf of Temple Baptist Church, with the signature of Gordian Mathis and Marvin Caldwell. And I think there was a lady that was a secretary at the time, and I'm trying to think. Who? Esther Turvill. And all of those documents were filed in 1960. Still on record. I went back and read through some of them and looked at it again. And some of you remember the original Constitution. And in 1960 is not that long ago, and that's been in place ever since. Even what we have today is formed off of that, and there's much of it that is unchanged. Temple Baptist Church, though, it says, belongs to the people who are members of the church. I submit to you that's not right. I submit to you that Temple Baptist Church, while it may belong to this collective group when we sit in business session for real estate and business purposes, Temple Baptist Church, that is the souls and spirits of you and me, belong to Jesus. We must never make the mistake of believing that we are the owners of anything. Not this church, nor anything else for that matter. We are but managers of all that God owns. Jesus Christ built the church. Thus, Jesus Christ is the one to whom the church belongs. And as long as that remains in focus, then when we say Temple Baptist Church exists for the glory of God, we have said Temple Baptist Church exists. And here's what we mean by that. Jesus Christ built her. Jesus Christ is the one to whom she belongs. And Jesus Christ is the one that gets all the glory and all the honor. Look at what it does for us when we realize that Jesus built the church and the church belongs to Jesus. It changes everything. It changes the kind of competition that oftentimes goes on between us within the body and between this body and other bodies. Do you realize that God never intended for church groups to compete with one another? Now, basketball, volleyball, and softball, sure. But other than that, we don't compete with one another. Churches do not compete. We are not competing for members. We are not competing for dollars. We are not competing for notoriety or any of those things. We are here to complete and to complement and to work together because we're all on the same team. Do we all agree about everything? No. But wouldn't it be nice for just once if we could focus our attention rather than on the things that we disagree on the things that we do agree on? Wouldn't it be nice if we could recognize that we, as members of Temple Baptist Church, work together in concert with believers of all times and all ages throughout this world, and we do so as a part of a larger group designed and called specifically to bring glory to God. Changes everything. Changes how we treat one another. Temple Baptist Church isn't built by me, and Temple Baptist Church doesn't belong to me. And Temple Baptist Church is here only for God's glory. Changes the way that I relate to you. We don't compete with one another in this church. We complement one another for the glory of Christ. Don't you see the difference? It's not just a practical matter of how we go about doing what we do. It is an internal matter that starts with a transformation of the heart and the mind. And as the heart and the mind is changed, it changes the outlook on everything. The church exists, whether it's Temple Baptist or any other local body of believers. The church exists to bring glory to God. But the reality is that we exist. We're here because Jesus built us. We're here because we belong to Him. And we're not going away. How do I know that? Because He said the very gates of hell will not prevail against her. That's good enough for me. I believe that God is calling us to Himself, that we may serve in a way that brings honor to Him, but it means renewing our commitment to the understanding that we exist as a church, not to satisfy the whims of church shoppers, not to satisfy the desires of established members, not to satisfy the changes and transitions of society and culture. We exist not to try and meet the expectations of humanity, but rather to live only for the glory of our Savior. We exist to declare Jesus in everything and in every way. We exist that others may see Him through us. We exist because He built us. And we continue because we belong to Him. I want you to know the heritage of Temple Baptist Church. I want you to know the people that are so much a part of that heritage. I want you to know how we came to be what we are today and who we are. And the people that God used along the way, who sacrificially gave not only of their resources but themselves. I want us always to remember that what we do today, we do standing on the shoulders of those who've gone before. I want us to know that none of this belongs to us any more than it belonged to them. We are all merely managers in the process and the journey of this life that Jesus Christ has called into service. And it is a great privilege and honor to be a part of this fellowship and to be a servant of our King. But Temple Baptist Church, if we ever lose our focus and forget why we exist, will become a self-serving church whose attention is given only to herself and whose impact will soon cease to exist. I want us to be here till Jesus comes. I want us to be effectively used for His glory until He calls us home. And I believe that the way that we can exist to that end is to always be reminded that Temple Baptist Church is built by Jesus. And to this day, Temple Baptist Church belongs to Jesus.